Studio 360.
Hey, I'm Hanif Abdurraqib, sitting in for Kurt Anderson this week. And among the other hats I wear, writer, poet, I'm also a music critic. And something I heard that really moved me a few years ago is the album Infinite Worlds by an artist called Vagabond. Vagabond is a stage name for Leticia Tomko, an indie rock innovator and multi-instrumentalist based in Brooklyn. Infinite Worlds was her first album, and when it came out in 2017, it received a flood of critical acclaim. And this October, the 26-year-old will be releasing her second album. Tomko was born in Cameroon. When she was 13, an age that can be tumultuous in the most stable of circumstances, she was uprooted when her family moved to Harlem.
In that time frame of being a teenager where you feel so uneasy in your body, to then be shifted into a whole different part of the world, it was anxiety-inducing. When I first moved here, I had a buzz cut, and I remember kids just not understanding if I was a boy or a girl, or like where I came from or why I looked like that.
What did you turn to for comfort, if anything? Is that where you found music, or were you already invested in music before the move?
My grandmother was a choir director in Cameroon, so I already loved music, and I would always be around music, but in the context of like church and choir. But when I moved to the US, it was mostly like listening to Mariah Carey CDs and Whitney Houston CDs and the radio and Usher CDs, Alicia Keys. And
yeah,
that's all I would do. I would like very much like stare out of the window and like play those CDs.
What was the Mariah Carey album that was like your Mariah Carey album?
This is going to tell my age, but it was like Obsessed With Me era. Like, what was it called? Like,
oh,
it was like
like
a math equation.
It was like E equals MC squared.
Yes.
Which in retrospect is not maybe the best album title of her career.
Yeah, it's incredible. That was my album right there. And that's like more of the recent stuff. It was after that that I discovered like Heartbreaker era and loved that too. But that was the album that I was obsessed with.
Everyone, I feel like, has a Mariah entry period, or everyone had a Mariah entry period. I imagine that's harder now.
Right.
Though she came out with an album recently. Did you listen to the latest Mariah album?
Oh, yeah. I love that album.
Where do I go from here? How do I disappear? Hear me on the looking glass.
I think it's really good. And I mean, it's no shade, but like it seems more vocally accessible for like
Right. Oh,
me.
That's such a gentle way to put that.
Yeah, because like, you know, it's still Mariah, but like I'm like, oh, I can sing Mariah. It's like a thing.
A lot has been made of you kind of breaking stereotypes in the indie rock space.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you think about? Is that kind of a path you intend to be on? Or are you just kind of here creating with the tools you have?
I mean, I would be lying if I said I didn't think or notice about how I was often the only Black woman in these spaces or one of two. I touch on my record, Vagabond, that's coming out, just of like being really freaked out by like gatekeeper culture and realizing that a lot of the indie rock world is that way. And especially for people who look like me, for Black girls, for Black men, even like Black people. And it's really important for me that with every little tiny bit of power that I acquire through people thinking my music is good, it's like it's in an attempt to keep the door open for the rest of us to come behind me, because for me, it has to have a purpose that feels bigger than me in order for me to justify doing all this stuff that feels a little masturbatory.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we obviously lost Toni Morrison recently. And in talking about Toni Morrison, the thing that so stood out to me was her relentless commitment to making sure she wasn't pulling the ladder up behind her, so to speak.
Yes.
Kind of erasing these ideas of scarcity and making room for other people. So it's really great to hear you say that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a major part of the work beyond whatever it is we create, also holding the door open for other folks to create and showing them the path to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the only way we're gonna make it.
So you have a new album, is a your self-titled album. What made you go with the self-titled for the second album? Was it kind of like a reintroduction type of idea?
It was more of like, there are so many discoveries of self on this album. You know, even going from Infinite Worlds, where I wasn't on the cover, and this one where I like really had a full idea of how I wanted to be on the cover and what I wanted to display, and really finding confidence in my voice through this album. Like, I was scared of my voice last time around. Now I'm fully in it and all its quirks, and I produced the entire record. I performed 97% of the instruments except for strings on the album. And so it felt like the right thing to call it. It felt aligned with the process of making this album.
Never meant to be you, never meant to be me, never meant to be us. Never meant for all of this, never meant for you to love, never meant for you to trust. So I'll take my time next time, and I'll do it right.
What I loved about listening to the album was that it did give off a kind of comforting vibe throughout. What was it like to make music of comfort in uncomfortable times?
It was good. I was growing really weary of Black sadness and seeing how it's consumed, more importantly, not so much that it exists, but how our stories get told. And I feel like Black joy is a radical thing. Every time I walk down the street and I see a Black person smiling, I'm happy, because it feels like that in and of itself is not as simple as it can seem to some other people. And so this whole sonic landscape of this album is like, well, if I'm in charge, then I'm going to choose to put myself in a position where, like, I'm at the center of goodness or comfort for once. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have the space. How do I want to dress my space up in a way that makes me feel supported and not hopeless?
So there's one influence in particular I was excited to talk to you about. The guitarist Ali Touré, who passed away in 2006, but was an African blues musician from Mali, really, I think, is most known for his distinct guitar work. Particularly, I remember being young and hearing the album The River, which was present in my house.
Oh, I love that.
But what's your Touré touchpoint?
The album Savane means so much to me.
D'un autre pays, adieu, ça va.
The way that Africans all over play guitar is so specific, and it's so beautiful, and it feels so rooted in me that when I picked up a guitar, I realized that, like, those are the things that I was drawn to, because that's the first introduction to guitar that I had, and it felt cool to finally identify with my culture in this way, because I think there was a long time of living in America where no one around me was like me. There was this disconnect between me and my culture that I knew so well. And so this is kind of coming back to it and saying, yes, actually, this is the music I love. This is the music I first listened to when I discovered I loved music. And this is what my body wants to do. And this is what my fingers want to do when I touch a guitar.
Leticia, thank you so much for speaking with me. It's been a pleasure. I hope to catch you out on tour as you promote this wonderful new album.
Thanks for having me. It was good to talk to you.
Leticia Tomko's new album, Vagabond, is out October 18th.